was a rough day in markets yesterday, and today's not looking so great either. In New York, I'm Sabri Benishore, in for David Brancaccio. Let's just start with the numbers. We pulled out the saddest music for you there. Yesterday was not a fun day on Wall Street. U.S. markets fell 3 to 4%, and according to the futures markets, now we are not done. The Dow futures down 1%, that's 246 points. The S&P futures down 0.9%. The tech-heavy NASDAQ future is down 0.8%. There's more. Hang Seng in Hong Kong closed down 3.6%. The FTSE in London is down 1.8%. The 10-year Treasury yield is at 3.17%. Michael Hewson is Chief Market Analyst with CMC Markets. He's on the line from London. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning.
Some of the things we've heard that might be responsible for triggering this fall are rising interest rates, higher bond yields, trade problems with China. This is all old news. Why was this triggered yesterday of all days?
This has been brewing for quite some time. If you look at the performance of the Russell 2000 over the course of the past 5 to 6 weeks, the Russell 2000 is a very domestically focused index which hosts 2,000 U.S. companies, and obviously those companies make most of their money in the United States. It was already leading U.S. markets lower. The only reason that the Dow Jones and the S&P 500 hadn't followed suit was, I think, this expectation that the U.S. economy would continue to grow at its current clip. Now, I think that's very unlikely, despite the fact that wage growth does appear to be picking up, and the fact that the fiscal stimulus that was brought in by the U.S. president's administration at the beginning of this year is likely to start to fade towards the back end of this year.
Do we have any good news on the horizon that could get us out of this, or is this actually good news? Were stocks overvalued?
Some stocks were overvalued, and the correction is more than healthy. If you look at the U.S. market over the course of the past 10 years, we haven't seen a 15 to 20% correction in the entire move upwards. The global economy is still growing. I just think very occasionally markets need a bit of a shakeout.
Michael Hewson, Chief Market Analyst at CMC Markets in London. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
President Trump yesterday seemed to blame the market drop on the Federal Reserve's raising of interest rates, saying it had gone, quote, loco. The Federal Reserve raises rates to prevent the economy from overheating, and presidents over the past quarter century have demurred from openly criticizing the Fed. President Trump has done so fairly regularly this year. We are coming up on earnings season, companies reporting in on how they're doing. If they are doing well, that might take some of the edge off of the drop in markets. Tomorrow, some big banks report earnings, JP Morgan Chase, Citigroup, Wells Fargo. Marketplace's Justin Ho has more.
The last time banks reported on earnings, they were flush with money from trading revenue and savings from the new tax law. Wells Fargo analyst Mike Mayo says this time,
investors are saying, where's my dessert? Where's the extra loan growth? Where's the extra capital expenditures?
Mayo will also be watching to see how rising interest rates affect bank profits. With a 10-year yield well above 3% and the Fed committed to more hikes, Brad McMillan with the Commonwealth Financial Network says banks have been fattening up.
When interest rates go up, that means banks are actually be able to charge more, and there's a delay before they pass that extra interest through to their customers.
But that delay could be coming to an end. McMillan says when rates rise, it usually takes banks 6 to 12 months to start paying more to savers, and we're already well into that period.
So it's probably not that much longer before customers are really going to start to see the benefit.
Right now, the average return on the savings account is just 0.09%. I'm Justin Ho for Marketplace.
James in Bridgewater, New Jersey, wrote to express his appreciation for the way that Marketplace presents business and economic news at the everyman and everywoman level and offers insights not provided by other news outlets. Now, if you agree with James, please join him as a Marketplace investor by donating online at marketplace.org. Thanks to James and everyone who makes our work possible.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Palo Alto Networks. As you innovate to transform your business in today's digital world, how do you stay secure? At Palo Alto Networks, our mission is to protect your digital way of life. Whether it's unprecedented opportunities or uncertainties with AI and whatever comes next, we continually deliver innovation to make each day safer and more secure than the one before. More at paloaltonetworks.com.
Every day, more than 10 million people ages 50 and older are at risk of going hungry in the United States. That's what the AARP estimates. Bad enough, but in Florida, that problem is made worse by a lack of public transportation. It's hard to get to grocery stores, let alone food banks. So some organizations that provide food are now holding events in neighborhoods where seniors live. Danielle Pryor with the Marketplace Hub at WMFE in Orlando has that story.
Dawn Roddenberry is in her 60s. Today, she's walked the block from her house with her cart to the Church of God in Bithlow. It provides free food to seniors. She carefully chooses her food for the week. She's been coming to these events since they started in 2015. Back then, the organization only held three a year. Now, it's up to six.
And the more you come, the more you get to know. And the people here, they help load people's cars.
Pastor Lizette Torres and Ruthie Lee, who runs the program, say a community has grown up around these events. That's because they provide more than 20,000 pounds of food to 700 people while encouraging them to take care of themselves. Torres has noticed that.
We see them now with makeup. You see, because they see Ruthie.
She gives them makeup and I tell them, you gotta put on some lipstick. I'm a makeup artist, you know?
University of Central Florida's Amy Donnelly says relationships between local service providers and seniors are crucial.
How many seniors do we not know about because they aren't socializing with others, are not connected in the community or with their neighbors?
Donnelly surveyed more than 890 Floridians over the phone. She found one-third of seniors in the state don't have family nearby, and half are not sure where they could get help if needed. Dave Krepko of Second Harvest Food Bank of Central Florida says communities need to do more to find these seniors.
So many times, you know, neighbors aren't talking to neighbors. And in the ideal world, it'd be great just to start from that block level for people to realize, you know, who's next door or down the block that needs help.
The national nonprofit Feeding America anticipates the number of seniors who rely on food assistance will increase by 50% in 2025. In Orlando, I'm Danielle Pryor for Marketplace.
And in New York, I'm Sabri Benishour with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.